Our sermon topic today is How Did You Serve? And we welcome our speaker, who by a huge miracle made it here today, Uncle Remi Shogbetu. And he'll be sharing the word as we look forward to learning more about the last topic of our quarter's theme on living a life of sacrifice and service.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Before the sermon or the exhortation actually starts, I'd like to ask us to raise a shout of hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Once again, please.
Hallelujah.
And one more time.
Hallelujah.
Thank you very much. And now you may ask me why. I, my wife, and our house help and the driver were witnesses to what happened to Sister Fumi tonight. We were two cars behind them. And we saw this man he was a boy. I'd say maybe about 20, 22, in a black hoodie, walk up beside the car and lean on the car. You know when these people who sell things on the road want to sell you water, whatever it is, they will lean on your car. And he leaned on the car, and at that point I looked, what is this fellow up to? And I saw him, and the next thing I saw, a phone in his hand. He turned around and was like walking away. And then our eyes met. Nice looking fellow, you know. And he walked back and gave Fumi back her phone. Now, I don't know what he saw, but it was very slow. Actually, we were not moving. And at that point, I think he looked around and something just spoke to him and said, if you are caught tonight, no, seriously, if you are caught tonight, you are likely to be lynched. And he just thought about it, went back, and gave her the phone. That's the only reason I can adduce. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let us pray. Our Father and our God, you are always so good to us. You are always right next to us, Jehovah Shammah, the God who is always there. We thank you, Lord, for your deliverance in so many ways from dangers that we cannot even begin to think of. And as we have chosen of our own selves to be here tonight, we know that you have a word for us. And so, Father, we pray for minds that are settled and have left the world outside, spirits that are willing to be taught. We pray, Lord, that tonight lives will be touched, decisions will be made, that your name may be glorified because the testimonies we know will come at some point in the future. We give you all the praise as we lean back and listen to what you have to say to us. And we give you thanks. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen. Over the last quarter, we've had these wonderful teachings about how to develop lifestyles of sacrifice and service. You know, the Lord feeds us with such wonderful lessons in this place. Some of us don't take notice. But I know that lives are being touched, even as we have been taught over the last few years, as the PAC has been led by the Holy Spirit to give us deeper understanding into His Word. And as we have studied under this theme, a lifestyle of sacrifice and service, what we are expecting in all of us, are transformed lives, the power to render sacrificial service, and the ability to carry our cross daily and follow him. Very quickly, we have 15 minutes or thereabouts, so please start to wink at me when, if I, for instance, I go over 15 minutes. We'll focus our attention on four main areas that will make this question that we are being asked clearer and hopefully help us to answer it in a way that will please the Lord. First of all, we need to understand the context of the question. And secondly, we need to understand what this matter called talent actually is. And thirdly, we will go back again to the question so that we can fully begin to contemplate in our own minds how to answer it. And then lastly, we will inform ourselves of what God is looking for in children, in his children, and what God is not looking for in his children. And then we will round up. God always puts context to his word to describe a condition or a situation so that we do not fail to understand what he's saying, which was why Christ always fell back on the practice of explaining things with parables. And what we have listened to this evening is a parable. Christ, being who he was, God, always knew that through his parables, his words will bring light to the minds of those who are willing to receive light. And that it did not matter from what segment of society you came from, the wealthy, the middle class, the poor, always understood at the end what he was trying to say through his parables. And so there is this parable that we have just read. Let us break it down. In verse 15, it says that God gives to every man according to his several abilities. The key word there is every. So every one of us, every man, every woman, indeed, every child up to a point has abilities. For us, the older ones, when I say older, old enough to understand, some of us may decide to use our abilities and some decide not to use our abilities. In verse 18, it says, we can be like the one who received one talent and went and dug the earth and hid it. He was an unproductive child. May we not have unproductive children in Jesus' mighty name. If you have an unproductive child, you would know the problems that lay ahead of you. The lazy servant always has an excuse of not doing something or for not doing something. There's always something that comes up that he feels makes it justifiable not to do what he's being asked to do. Going through the traffic light, a red light, is being lazy not to stop at a red light, which is what it means. Stop. All those fellows that, and women also, who run through red lights are lazy enough not to do what they want to do, but always have an excuse if they are caught as to why they did it. In verse 19, Jesus warns us that there will be a day of reckoning for the master, a day of reconciliation of accounts. No one understands how this reconciliation will work. Nobody here, at least. But that day will certainly come. And when we find, or when the master finds that certain accounts don't balance, There is a judgment for it. And in the message, that judgment is rendered. The master ordered that the talent that had been given to this person, one talent, should be taken from him and given to he who had multiplied his talents. In verse 30, it gives us a broader view of what this punishment entails. It says, get rid of this play it safe person who will not go out on a limb to exercise this talent on behalf of the master, so that he has at his beck and call many more talents. Throw this person out into utter darkness. There will be weeping and grinding of teeth. It sounds so final and so foreboding. But our God is a God of love. In Luke 13, and I don't know whether we can show these verses on the screens. In Luke 13, verses 6 to 9, are we able to do so? And the minutes it will take them to get it up will be deducted from the 15 minutes. Luke 13, verses 6 to 9. I can hardly see those. Can we take off the picture? Ah, thank you. Luke 13, 6 to 9. Let us read together. That's a good idea. Let's read together. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. God always gives us a window of opportunity to correct our accounts, so that our books make sense. And so when the master looks at those accounts, he's able to reconcile them easily. He gives us time to bear fruit, but he will not give us forever, because he has timely expectations of his children. And tonight, for some, may be the beginning of the opening of that window of opportunity. What is talent? We can imagine that talent could be making money. Some people have a knack for making money for good purposes. They will protect their activities by saying they are making money for good purposes. They tithe. They bring lumpy offerings to church. They buy things for the man and the woman of God, etc., etc. Talent could also be having the gift of administration and serving on the church council, the pastoral affairs committee, the incorporated trustees, or being lay assistant, or even preaching, as we do now. It could be playing music or singing in the choir. The gift of voice, talent of voice. It could be being charitable, even in the midst of brethren. It could be even a more sublime talent, providing empathy or support for those in need of comforting. And many of us will call those actions or activities commendable. In some instances, if not most, they are necessary activities. And such activities are being carried out in most churches around the world by millions of people, of Christians. The truth is, though, that these are ordinary descriptions or metaphors for the word talent. these so-called talents are not necessarily spiritually relevant. I may be a good accountant, be very good at my job, and keeping the church's finances, etc., etc. I may be a good administrator, managing the office of the church so that things are done in a prompt manner and an efficient manner. They may not necessarily be rendered from a spiritual perspective. And in just the same way, the talent or the pound or the coin in Jesus' parable was not relevant in the sense in which we would look at the word talent. But Jesus had a different understanding because he was in communion with his Father. So to the contrary, Jesus was saying that the key talent which God desires most in a child of his is the talent of investing in, possessing, and living the life of Christ. They that walked that road in time past and even up until the present have become and became in those days multipliers of what? Of the faith. So the talent that was being multiplied was not the coin or the pound or the activities that we undertake these days. It was living the life of Christ so that through what Christ had done and is doing through lives submitted to him, he could multiply the faith of people around such people because they were teachers of a sort, powerful teachers of a sort, because they lived godly lives. And because people saw and observed, they desired also to want to live such lives. And so the talent was the talent of being a multiplier. It is not about what we can get from God. It's fine. We all come to pray, to fellowship, to ask, to receive, to give testimonies, etc., etc. However, what is more important is what we are able to give him. Christ raised his disciples beyond just drinking milk. He took them to another level where they were able to eat meat. Can we have 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 2, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 2. Let me read it. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you were not ready for anything stronger. And you still are not ready. This was Brother Paul speaking to the Christians at Corinth. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you were not ready for anything stronger than milk, and you are still not ready. The early committed followers of Jesus invested their lives, their time, their possessions in Christ, that his life and the talent of living godly by the enablement of the Holy Spirit may be passed on to as many as possible, may be multiplied, as we have said, according to the Father's grace and his will. Now, that is a talent worth having. Do we agree or not? The talent of being able to multiply the life of Christ is a talent worth having. So we come back to the question, how did you serve? Or rather, let us reword it. How did I serve? Ask yourself the question. Because it is a spiritually probing query. And certainly we can answer within the context of this quarter's study guide. the various topics that we have been taking through the months. Sacrificial service, an act of worship. I'm just going to run through. Embracing Christ and his Christ-like character of humility. Serving with compassion. Serving God with our resources. Take up your cross. Intentional service, just last Sunday, and sacrifice. We are or have arrived at a crescendo. And those of us in the choir will understand what a crescendo is. It comes from a low base and builds itself until it is soaring, until it is powerful enough to move us to deliver the message that we desire to deliver through a song. And as we begin to look at how to answer this question, we ask ourselves, did I do any works of faith anywhere? With what spirit did I render service in office? How was my service sacrificial? Was I found by him to be a good and loving, charitable family member of Victoria Fellowship Church? And so on and so on. These answers are commendable. But what we desire to do is to dig further within us, ourselves, for honest answers. And the honest answers in this context cannot be framed by our own human reasoning. They cannot be framed by what we think. We have to be able to define the answer or give the answer as an aspiration to the benchmark that Jesus Christ has set. For he has set an answer for service. My answers cannot be the way in which the human mind will fashion them or build them, because such answers lend themselves to subjectivity. They are rendered as opinions. I did my best. I felt that I would be most useful in this part of ministry, and so on and so forth. These are self-centered interpretations of what sacrificial service is. And we know that when we answer with our carnal minds, we are not answering to Christ. Can we have Romans 8, verses 7 to 9, please? There's nothing written on this, which is fine. 7 to 9. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, or indeed can be. So Christ is not interested in us answering that question with our carnal minds. As we sit here tonight, contemplating 2025, let us set our hearts on the righteousness that blends with life, living by Christ's principles, discipleship that speaks of a better servanthood, going beyond just being born again, living and serving with godliness. Godliness, that great revealed mystery of the faith that only springs forth from a dogged pursuit of Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:10 tells us that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and if need be, the fellowship of his suffering. All of our faith must affect visibly and within us our behavior and our character. The practical application of Christ's principles to our lives. Beyond all questions, beyond all doubts, and beyond all fears. God is not looking for casual, infrequent followers. There is a parable of a man who had two sons, and he asked the first son, will you go to the farm to do what farmers do? And he said, no, I'm not going. All right, fine. And his father asked the second one, will you go to the farm to farm? And the second one said, yes, dad, I will go. But eventually, it was the first son who said no that went to farm, and the second who said yes did not go. That is in Matthew 21, verses 28 to 32. For want of time, we cannot read it. But the matter here is that may we not become professional responders who say yes every time the Lord asks of us, but yet in our deep down heart of hearts, we know we will not do it. We want to know the will of God, but we are being held back by our own self-will. I don't know what you feel about these times. And maybe because we are a little older now and we have seen maybe more peaceful, more prosperous, more sane times in our lifetime, we feel that there is a spirit of urgency. Increasingly, there's a spirit of stress that attacks not just the older ones, but many, 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 many younger ones. So much so that they strive to make a way of escape. And this urgency is something that only the Christian life, the life of Christ, can address. In Luke 14, 23, Christ said, "Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled.'" If we look around us, there are several empty seats. And if I were to put a percentage to it, I would say roughly 30 to 35% of the seats in here are empty. Christ would desire that this place be filled out to the brim, people standing outside, unable to get in to sit, if we could only do what he asks of us. And so when he says to us, "Compel them to come in, that my house may be filled," other translations use different words, but with such power and urgency, the message says, "Drag them in." The Passion says, "Urgently insist that they come in." The Amplified Classic says, "Constrain them to come in." Other versions use words like pressure, urge, persist. He wants to see these seats filled. But beyond being filled, he wants lives changed. Lives that understand the importance of investing in, possessing, and living the godly life of Christ. That we, being the vessels that we ought to be in his hands, will become multipliers of the faith, not only in VFC, but in our vicinities, in our estates, in our places of work, and so on and so forth. This is the message of the Lord, that we understand that even though we may have talents to serve, sacrificial service, the talent that he counts on the most is the talent of his children to be able to spread the faith effectively. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you because seldom are we asked to look in on ourselves and to probe our own selves and our minds with questions that show up our shortcomings, that show up our weaknesses. We thank you for your word and the awesome parables that are shared with us therein. Lord, we pray that the meat of the word will always come through to us, that we will see it and acknowledge it and understand it to the point where we are enabled by your Spirit to make the commitment, above all commitments, to take up our cross daily and to follow you. That you may use our lives in the lives of many others. That we may be fruitful for you. That indeed, Heavenly Father, the joy that you give us in multiplying lives in your household, you will share with us. Help us, Lord, to keep a conscious mind, to be mindful that the day will come when we will render accounts. Keep us mindful and actively working and striving to become what you want us to be, that we may be effective vessels in your hand for your purpose and your purpose only, to the praise and the glory of your holy name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.